This is Rumblestrip. I'm Erica Heilman.
Up until I had access to typing, I felt lost, deserted, in an inaccessible sea.
That's Mark Utter. Actually, that's a computer-generated voice speaking the words of Mark Utter, which he tapped out with one finger. This is a story I made with Mark in 2015. He died last October, so I'm playing it now as a tribute to him. Mark Utter was born with a form of autism that made it impossible for him to say what he was thinking for the first 30 years of his life. He did not have access to the world of words except as a listener, an observer. When he was 30, he was introduced to supported typing, and for the first time in his life, with the help of a facilitator and a typing pad, he started his life as a writer of words. Mark used this communication approach for the rest of his life. In recent years, a number of communication and health associations have actually recommended against facilitated communication, but this is not a story about that controversy. It's a story about Mark. Mark Utter worked with a number of communication partners in his life. They would lightly touch his elbow as he typed with one finger. They had no control over the letters Mark chose, but according to Mark, this light touch helped to focus him, both physically and mentally. And Mark had a lot to say. In 2013, Mark made a film about what it's like to be Mark. The film is called I Am In Here, A View of My Daily Life with Good Suggestions for Improvement from My Intelligent Mind. The film offers a strangely lucid and sometimes hilarious look into his life and his mind. I met Mark twice, and we talked for about 2 hours each time. So I would ask a question, and Mark would type out an answer, and this could take up to 8 minutes. I can't play you 4 hours of tape, so I've edited out the typing, but I wanted to give you a sense for the real tempo of our conversation, because I think that the time that it took Mark to communicate with words had a huge impact on how he used language. So for this first answer, you'll hear most of his typing. Here's Mark Utter. What was it like before communication with words with people?
My living. Felt like I was on my own.
My living felt like I was on my own. Yet much attention was given to my body. If you can imagine being a glorified pet, that is what it was like.
How does one know another person without language?
I think we all feel people more than think words about them. We, as animals, have the ability to convey a lot of information without words. But spoken language is much more popularly used for sharing higher thinking.
So for the first 30 years of your life, you had no way to communicate with language of any kind. It makes me wonder what it was like inside your mind. Can you describe that?
I used to find it easiest to describe it as a castle. A castle with many rooms. And each room has a focus, such as good memories, and sweet thoughts, and funny things, and old movies. The castle's rooms evolved over time, as more information and stories filled them. I always add what interests me, and that does change with time, as a body grows up and minds evolve with knowledge.
Was the world of people and words something that seemed far away, or what was your relationship to it before you had access to that?
I was in it, but experiencing it in my own way. People didn't know I knew everything that was going on around me.
Was there a feeling of frustration? I want to ask it right. If you're born without access to words, do you still experience frustration at not having them?
I found it frustrating that people found me stupid, and I was not.
Is there a story that comes to mind that tells us that story? Is there a story of being misunderstood that comes to mind that really stands out in your mind?
I was having a fun time playing in the pool, and some people got in and decided to tell really mean stories about my brother. I knew they had some details wrong. It would have surprised them if I could have corrected them. I was in agreement with what the people were saying, and my additions would have made them laugh.
When you first started with supported typing, was there anything you were afraid of losing?
I love your wonderful questions. Yes. I was worried I might lose my vantage point on human communication, and I have a little. Because I am needing to be accountable for what I do and say, while feeling many emotions.
You were afraid that you would lose your vantage point on human communication. Communication between other people that you were witness to?
Yes. I see how people don't say what they are feeling. But now I do the same thing when I am mad or confused.
You thought you were going to be the truth teller? Did your experience of the passage of time change with language?
Oh, I love time. I can condense it or expand it somewhat. I can move back in time because of the way my mind holds information.
You tell a story in the film about being picked up by some transportation agency or group and dropped off at the wrong place. You were taken to the library. You were supposed to be taken somewhere else. And the picture of the film is of you just standing and waiting for a long time. Much time passes when you're standing at the library. The narration is you describing, I can't remember the words you use, but I think you say, I don't do well when plans change.
Yes, I have a body and mind connection disorder.
Can you describe in that moment at the library what that feels like?
It varies. But in a situation like that, I feel a really strong urge to move. But I am unsure where to go to get that problem fixed due to my inability to communicate with the voice.
Is that frightening? And there are a lot of things you could feel about that. It could be frightening. You could feel resentful. You could feel perfectly peaceful with that circumstance where you are essentially waiting for someone to come and to sort it out. What does that make you feel?
I am sure I look nervous, so I must be some of that. But this is a great moment to hang out in the castle.
When you are in that circumstance, what do you not want people to do that they might... What's the worst thing people can do in that moment?
Take me and do something bad with me.
Has that ever happened?
I want to say no. But yes, it has. It is better not to talk about it. But it is something I am healed from, and I like to bring hope to others still healing.
One thing I wanted to ask, I wanted to start by reading a line from your film, because it was so striking to me when I heard it. And here it is. I, the little green bird, am tired of so many friendless days in my life. I want to know how it feels to have old, cold, lonesome longing for love gone. I think that what was so striking to me about that is it jumps so far. It jumps from desire for love all the way to sadness at its loss. And I wondered if you could write more about that. I think what I'm asking about is, what do you want from love?
That is a line I wrote long ago. I am happy to say that line ignited the spark that lit the path to you, and so many others, that have met my heart and mind. I know love goes, but I am really into love's arrival. I am aware that I felt deeply aware of love for a long time.
You were aware of love, but you didn't have love? Is that what you mean?
I felt love, and I saw love between real people, and between the movie TV folks too. But I was not a participant, though I found I felt it in me.
I'm assuming, as we're talking here, that, I mean, what I had meant and what I think that we agree on is that I'm talking about before this kind of communication. So has this communication helped you to experience love with other people?
No. I say things that are not absolutely true, and that is not effective communication. People get confused and find my anger at where I am in my life confusing to navigate.
So what are you, if what you say here is that you're angry, what do you desire?
I want the transformational soothing of someone knowing me, and vice versa.
Do you feel that you don't have enough control over the friendships you develop in your life?
Yes. I think I deserve more, as I so astutely connect with open hearts. I go to very hopeful places in them. So I find it hard to not have it reciprocated. I am remaining open to finding that.
You know, in the film, there's a section of the film, there's a bowling sequence in the film. There are a bunch of guys bowling. But what I noticed is that there's a kind of community that's not based on language and on talking. And I wonder if you can describe what it's like to be in a community where words are not the only currency.
Yes. I think so much about communication in ways that don't rely on spoken words. But I am totally into finding minds through words right now. Once I am established and accepted as a thinker, I can talk more about the other currency you describe, which is communication and friendship without words.
What do I not understand because I talk so much?
I think we easily fear that others don't like who we are. So we are so often hiding. I think we miss peace. By talking, joy abounds completely when we hold back our declarations of it. My deepest wish is for us all to show our hearts. I am a man named Mark Utter, and I want to end this podcast by uttering my favorite word with my own voice.
Love.
That was Mark Utter, and this is Rumblestrip, distributed on the radio by Vermont Public. Thank you to Emily Anderson, who was a friend and supportive typing partner for Mark and the reason we met. Music for this show from Poddington Bear. Fair winds, Mark Utter. This is Rumblestrip. I'm Erica Heilman. Thanks a lot for listening.